Okay, so usually when we talk about a bloodbath on Wall Street, we are talking about, our recession signal or a housing crisis.
Right, or like some massive geopolitical shock that just rattles everything.
Yeah, exactly. But if you were looking at the markets in late February 2026, specifically around the 23rd, you might have been a little confused,
Oh, yeah.
very confused.
Because the S&P 500 was flat, the Nasdaq was wobbling, but basically fine. But if you zoomed in on one specific sector,
Cybersecurity.
cybersecurity, it looked like a crime scene.
It was surgical. That really is the only word for it. It wasn't a slow bleed, it was a cliff edge.
Right. We are talking about a massive synchronized drop in stock prices for the absolute titans of the industry. CrowdStrike, Cloudflare, Okta, SailPoint.
The untouchables.
Exactly. These are the safe haven stocks, the companies that keep the lights on and the hackers out. You buy them because, well, cybercrime isn't going away.
Right. For the last decade, the whole thesis has been simple. The world is dangerous, so you pay the bodyguards whatever they ask.
Yeah. But then, on that Monday, Anthropic drops a new piece of software, and suddenly the market just completely panics.
And that piece of software is Claude Code.
Claude Code. And the reaction was immediate. We saw CrowdStrike down over 8%, Cloudflare down 8.1%, Okta and SailPoint taking hits of like over 9%.
Which is wild for a single day of trading just based on a product announcement.
Unheard of.
Usually a competitor launches a feature and the stock moves maybe 1%, but this was a total rout. So our mission for this deep dive is pretty clear. We need to unpack why a single piece of software caused such panic.
Yeah.
What makes Claude Code so different that investors looked at these billion-dollar legacy companies and just said, I'm out.
It's a fascinating story because it's not actually about stock prices at the end of the day. It's about a fundamental shift in the physics of software development.
Okay, the physics of it.
Yeah. We're moving from an era where companies paid millions of dollars to find bugs to an era of instant automated remediation.
Remediation. That is the key word we're going to be throwing around today.
It is. And honestly, if you look at the source material we have from the Tech and Garage War Room, they aren't calling this a market correction.
No.
They are framing this as a historical extinction notice for an entire business model.
An extinction notice. Okay, that is dramatic. But let's dive right in. What actually is Claude Code?
Good place to start.
Because I think a lot of people hear Anthropic and Claude and they just think, oh, it's another chatbot. It's ChatGPT for coding.
Right. They think they've seen this before.
Yeah, I mean, I've been using those for years. Why is this different?
That assumption is the fatal mistake. And it's exactly what the market woke up to. If you think this is just a chatbot or like a wrapper for an API, you are missing the point entirely.
Okay.
This isn't a tool where you copy and paste your code into a chat window and ask, hey, does this look right?
Right. It's not a sidebar conversation where you have to manually move the code back and forth between screens.
No. The sources emphasize this heavily. Claude Code runs directly in the CLI, the command line interface.
Okay, for the non-coders listening right now, let's unpack the CLI. That's the black screen with the blinking cursor, right? The matrix screen.
Yeah, ideally, yes. It's the engine room. It's where the actual work happens deep in the operating system.
Okay.
By living there, Claude Code isn't just offering advice. It has agency. It operates inside what we call a REPL environment. Read, eval, print, loop.
Okay, you're getting technical on me. REPL, translate that for us.
It just means it can think, execute a command, see the result of that command, and then decide what to do next. It has tool use capabilities.
It's actively doing things.
Exactly. It has root-level access permissions. It can read your Git transaction histories, which is basically like seeing the entire timeline of how your software was built.
Wow.
It can execute bash commands personally. It can grep through logs and debug them on the fly.
So it's not an assistant standing over your shoulder pointing at the screen. It's actually sitting in the chair typing on the keyboard.
Precisely. It's an agent with hands. And it has a massive context window, meaning it understands the entire architecture of your software.
Not just one isolated file.
Right. It knows how everything connects.
Now, I have to play the skeptic here immediately. Giving an AI root-level access to execute commands, modify files, and run scripts on my local machine, that sounds like a security nightmare waiting to happen.
Oh, absolutely.
Are we just trusting this thing not to delete the wrong folder?
That is the number one question developers have. And yes, it is dangerous if uncontrolled. But what scared the market wasn't the safety profile.
It wasn't.
No, it was the sheer efficiency of the workflow. The source material describes the cyber surgeon workflow that fundamentally changes the economics of security.
Walk us through that surgeon workflow. Let's say I have a vulnerability in my code, like a deep SQL injection flaw.
Okay.
Essentially a way for hackers to mess with my database.
Right. So in the old world, let's call it the pre-Claude world, a scanning tool finds that bug. It sends an alert to a dashboard.
A human sees it.
A human security engineer sees the alert, creates a ticket, holds a meeting, digs through the code to find where the injection is happening, tries to reproduce it.
Writes a patch, waits for a code review. That sounds like my average Tuesday. Lots of friction.
Exactly. That is weeks of work and thousands of dollars in salary time.
Right.
Now, here is the Claude code workflow. The agent scans the environment. It locates the vulnerability, but because it has that massive context window, it also locates every file involved in that chain.
So it sees the whole web of connections.
Then it writes the security patch algorithmically. But, and this is the truly agentic part, it doesn't just hand the patch to you.
What does it do?
It builds the code. It runs the unit tests.
Right, it tests its own work.
It runs the simulations. If the test fails, it reads the error message, rewrites the code, and tries again. It iterates until the test passes.
That is crazy.
And finally, and this is the kicker, it commits the secure code to the repository.
It commits the code. So it effectively does the job of a security engineer, from detection to solution to implementation, without a human needing to intervene.
Effectively, yes. And the source highlights the financial implication of this. It eliminates weeks of work for a security operations center, or SOC.
Oh.
It eliminates thousands of dollars in auditing costs. You aren't paying a team to investigate. You're letting an agent just fix it.
Okay, so I am starting to see why the market freaked out. If you can automate the actual fixing of the problem, the value of just finding the problem drops to zero.
That is the crux of it.
So let's pivot to the money. Let's talk about that Black Monday on Wall Street. We saw these massive drops in what were considered totally safe stocks. Let's break them down one by one, starting with CrowdStrike.
Okay.
They are famous for endpoint detection and response, or EDR. Why did they drop 8.2%?
Well, think about what EDR actually does. It's a sensor you put on a device to watch for bad behavior after the software is already running. It's a safety net.
Right.
But the investor fear here is about consumption.
Consumption? How so?
CrowdStrike and companies like them often charge based on volume, the amount of data ingested, the number of endpoints monitored. Their business model relies on the fact that software is inherently buggy and insecure.
So you need heavy monitoring to catch the exploits when they happen.
Exactly.
I see. If the house is built with fireproof materials, you don't need to pay for the expensive sprinkler system on every ceiling.
Perfect analogy. If developers use tools like Claude Code to write software that is secure by design, meaning the code is patched and perfect before it ever leaves the developer's laptop, the volume of threats drops.
And the volume of logs drops.
Right. It creates a massive drag on their revenue growth. You simply don't need the premium gold-plated sensor if the threat surface is shrunk by 90%.
Got it. Okay, what about Cloudflare? They were down 8.1%. They do the big network stuff, right? Keeping websites online?
They do, and they are the kings of content delivery. But a huge chunk of their revenue comes from WYF's web application firewalls. These are cloud-based filters that catch attacks before they hit your app. The argument against them now is that agentic tools like Claude Code can build highly optimized local security architectures.
Local meaning inside the app itself.
Exactly. Better encryption, better input validation, baked right into the application.
So the app defends itself.
Yes. If the AI built it to be a fortress, the need for an expensive cloud-based filter to stand in front of it diminishes.
It's like, why hire a bodyguard to stand outside if you're a black belt in karate?
That's a surprisingly accurate way to put it. The external wrapper becomes less valuable than the internal strength.
Okay, let's look at the third group. Okta and SailPoint, down over 9%. These are the identity guys. Passwords, logins, access management.
Right.
Why are they threatened? Because even if my code is perfect, I still need a login screen. People still need to log in.
This one is really interesting because it's about the build versus buy calculation. For the last 10 years, the golden rule of tech has been never build your own identity system.
Right, don't roll your own crypto. You'll mess it up, get hacked, and get sued.
Exactly. So you pay Okta millions to handle it. But the sources point out that with Claude Code, that difficulty moat just evaporated.
Really?
Yeah. An expert-level AI agent can help a small team build a custom, complex, secure tokenization system in a weekend.
So they can just build their own Okta.
In a fraction of the time and for a fraction of the cost. If you can build a bespoke system that fits your exact needs without the risk of human error, why sign a 5-year contract with a vendor?
That is, wow. It's not just one sector. It's the entire stack. Endpoint, network, identity, all of them under fire.
And this brings us to the core shift that the Tech and Garage report identifies. It's a shift in acronyms, which I know sounds boring, but stick with me.
I'm ready. Hit me with the letters.
We are moving from MTTD to MTTR.
Okay, let's unpack that. MTTD.
Mean time to detect. That has been the industry standard for 20 years. The entire cybersecurity business model was built on this, selling you visibility.
Just seeing the problem.
Exactly. You pay CrowdStrike or Palo Alto to give you dashboards, hundreds of them, and alerts.
Oh, the dashboards. I've seen these. It looks like the cockpit of a spaceship, but mostly it's just red lights flashing and scrolling text.
And that leads to alert fatigue. Real threats get lost in the noise because the system is just designed to tell you something might be wrong here, here, and here.
So it's a police officer blowing a whistle every time a leaf blows across the street.
Exactly. That's the business of selling fear and complexity.
Okay, so that's the old model. Detection, the whistleblower. What is the new model?
MTTR. Meantime to remediate.
Remediation. Fixing it.
This is the Claude Code era. You don't need a whistleblower. You need a cyber surgeon. Someone or something that cuts out the infection with pixel-perfect precision.
And crucially, doing it fast.
Instantly. We're talking about reducing the response time from weeks of emails, meetings, and tickets to seconds of cloud processing.
That's the part that destroys the revenue model. If I can fix the problem in seconds for the cost of compute, why am I paying a huge subscription for a dashboard that just stresses me out?
You wouldn't. And this raises the really big question, the one I know you're thinking about right now.
Why don't the giants just do this?
Right.
Why doesn't CrowdStrike just build a Claude Code? They have the money. They have the data. Why let a startup eat their lunch? It seems so obvious.
It is a classic business school case study happening in real time. It's the innovator's dilemma.
Clayton Christensen.
The one and only. Look at the business model of a legacy security giant. What do they actually sell? They sell complexity. They sell log analysis.
Right.
They charge you based on how much data you feed into their system to be monitored.
So the more problems I have, the more logs I generate, the more money they make.
In a way, yes. Now imagine they build a tool that fixes root causes instantly.
The bugs go away.
The bugs go away. The logs drop. The alarms stop.
And their revenue crashes.
They would be cannibalizing their own billion-dollar products. It's the fatal weakness. They cannot pivot because their shareholders love the current model.
Wow.
Whereas an AI startup like Anthropic has nothing to lose and everything to gain.
That is fascinating. They are trapped by their own success. And meanwhile, the economics of security are changing completely. The notes mention this concept of deflationary costs.
Yes. It's a harsh reality for human workers, but a massive boon for companies. The AI doesn't need a salary. It doesn't sleep. It doesn't take breaks.
Right.
Security moves from being a luxury post-production service to an inherent feature of code writing. It becomes a commodity.
Which brings us to the shift left strategy. Now, I know shift left sounds like a political movement, but in the dev world, it means something very specific, right?
It does. Imagine a timeline of building software from left to right. Mm-hmm. Left is planning and coding. Right is launching and maintaining.
Okay.
Shift left means moving security testing to the earliest possible moment, the left side of the timeline.
So catching the bug while you're typing it, rather than after you've launched the app.
Exactly. Now, everyone has wanted to do this for years, but to actually execute it, you needed to hire highly specialized DevSecOps engineers.
Who I assume are expensive and hard to find.
Nearly impossible to find. A needle in a haystack. But Claude Code operationalizes this strategy at near zero cost.
So it changes who can actually do security.
It essentially gives a solo developer the power of an entire cyber army.
The superpowered junior dev.
That is the term they use. Mm. A junior developer who maybe doesn't know everything about encryption protocols can now commit code that is as secure as if a team of experts reviewed it.
That's huge.
They can resolve memory leaks, misconfigurations, SQL risks all before hitting save. It's an operational red team working locally.
This sounds amazing for software quality. No more buggy apps. But let's pump the brakes for a second. We are painting a very rosy picture here. What about the risks? We know LLMs hallucinate. We know they make things up.
That is the elephant in the room.
Right. What happens when Claude Code fixes a bug but accidentally introduces a backdoor because it hallucinated a library that doesn't exist, or it interprets a security protocol backward.
Yeah.
If we automate this, aren't we just automating the introduction of new, weirder bugs?
That is the black swan risk.
Yep.
And that is exactly why the human in the loop doesn't disappear. They just move up the stack.
Okay.
The source material is pretty blunt about this.
Yeah.
The role of the manual log hunter is dead, but the role of the auditor is more important than ever.
So we are not firing the humans. We are promoting them to supervisors.
Ideally. If you're a CISO, a chief information security officer, you stop being a buyer of dashboards and start being an architect. You design the macro strategy.
And the engineers.
If you are an engineer, you stop being a manual patcher and become an AI fleet manager.
AI fleet manager. I like the sound of that.
You direct the swarm. You tell the fleet, secure this perimeter, and the agents execute it. You verify the logic, but you don't write the syntax.
I get the theory, but let's be real. Efficiency usually means consolidation. If one person can manage a fleet that used to require 10 people, that's 9 people looking for work.
There is no sugarcoating that.
Yeah.
That is the blood in the digital bloodbath. We are looking at a serious deflationary pressure on wages for lower-level security work.
Let's wrap this up with the verdict from the Token Garage regarding the market. They didn't mince words about what happens next.
No, they didn't. They called the 8 to 10% drop an extinction notice. Their view is that this wasn't just a market correction where stocks bounce back next week.
Right.
This was a market realizing that the old way, the business of selling alerts, is dead.
And the winners are the startups using AI as that scalable surge in.
Exactly. And the prediction for the next 12 months is chaos. They predict a massive wave of M&A mergers and acquisitions.
It's a dinosaur trying to survive.
The legacy vendors are sitting on huge piles of cash. They see the meteor coming. Their only move is to spend that cash to buy the agentic AI startups just to stay relevant.
So CrowdStrike or Palo Alto have to go shopping.
They have to buy the technology that is killing them. It is the only way to integrate it before they become completely irrelevant. It's a Silicon War entering a totally new phase.
Talk about a hostile work environment. Welcome to the team. You just destroyed our business model.
It's going to be a very wild year.
It is incredible to think that a single CLI tool, just text on a black screen, could trigger all this panic on Wall Street. It really changes how you look at the future of coding.
It does. It marks the definitive end of the chatbot era and the beginning of the agent era. And if I could leave you with one thought to chew on.
Please, go for it.
The source material poses a really provocative question. If security is no longer a moat,
right?
If it is no longer this special hard thing that only big companies can afford, and instead it's just a commodity available to any junior dev with a laptop, then what is the next layer of value?
Oh, that is interesting. If being safe is free, how do you differentiate yourself?
Exactly. When the walls are free to build, the value shifts to what you put inside the walls.
Yeah.
We might be seeing the start of a golden age of product creativity simply because the tax of keeping things secure has been repealed.
I love that. Less time fighting hackers, more time building the actual product.
That is the hope.
Well, there you have it. The digital bloodbath, the rise of the cyber surgeon, and the potential end of the dashboard era. A huge thank you to the Tech and Garage for the insights, and thank you for listening to another deep dive.
Stay curious and keep your agents in check.
See you next time.